Blog Talk Radio.
Don't you know that I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus? I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Apostle Deborah Ramos of Food for the Journey International Ministry. Welcome you to our Monday night Bible study. Glory to God. We just thank God for another opportunity that we can gather to study his word. Amen. Hallelujah. So before we get started, let us open up in prayer. Amen. Let us just pray. Father God, first of all, we thank you. We praise you and we bless your holy name. We thank you for this opportunity to study your word, Father God, so that we can be walking the victory that you won for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for everything that you do for me. We take authority over these lines this evening. We shut down our first and second heaven activity. We bind and rebuke every witch, warlock, and wizard that will come to try to block and stop this teaching in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that you anoint the hearers to hear what the Spirit is saying in this hour, Father God, so that we can walk in divine healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I welcome you all tonight as we get ready. I pray that you have your Bible and pen tonight as we go into the Word. We understand that we are continuing our series on healing. Our first lesson that we spoke about and taught about, we talked about spiritually rooted diseases. So before we go forward, we're just going to have a recap of our last two lessons. So the first lesson that we had, we talked about spiritually rooted diseases. We have to understand that many diseases are spiritually rooted. And so we as believers, we have to know what the Word of God says concerning sickness, infirmity, and disease. We have to understand that in order to walk in healing, we have to obey God. We have to do what's right. You know, many people, disease are separated because of the way that we treat others. Remember that the Bible says that we have to forgive others. Many of us don't want to forgive. Unforgiveness opens you up to sickness, infirmity, and disease. In Deuteronomy 28, it talks about blessings and cursing. So we can choose blessings or we can choose cursing according to the Word of God. Amen. So we want to understand. Let us just take a brief recap of Deuteronomy 28. And let's just start at verse 1. It says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of God." He says, "Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flock." We have to understand, in order to walk in divine healing, you must obey God. You must keep the doors of your soul closed to sickness, infirmity, and disease. And how we do that is obey God. Obey God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We must walk in peace. Peace. We can't do any and everything and expect to be blessed. We have to obey God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, "Or God has not called us to uncleanness, but into holiness." In order to walk in divine health, you have to walk in holiness. Remember that many diseases are rooted spiritually because of our spiritual conditions. So that's what we were talking about on our first lesson, talking about spiritually rooted diseases. Next, we talked about the sin factor. We talked about being separated from God. What causes diseases? What causes diseases is that we have a separation of these three areas, or all three. We either have separation from God and his word, his person, and his love. We have separation from ourselves by not accepting ourselves and suffering from guilt and shame. And then we have separation from others by breaches in relationship. Any one of those three things, or all three, can cause sickness, infirmity, and disease. We know that Jesus died that we could have life and have it abundantly. Amen. Jesus, hallelujah. One of the things that we need to learn to do is to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God so that you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Many a times the devil will send things our way so that we can fall and walk in sin. Now, we know when we talked about separation, we were studying from Romans chapter 7. And Romans chapter 7 is such a marvelous chapter. You know, it's Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans. Well, he wrote 13 books in the Bible, letters in the New Testament. But we know one of my favorite is Romans 7, because in Romans 7, Paul examines his life and himself through the eye of honesty. He is real with himself. He talks about the sin that's in his life. He talks about that the things that he don't want to do, those are the very things that he does, and the things that he actually wants to do, he don't do those things. Paul says that it's something going on here. It's something that's not right. How many of you ever felt like that the things that you wanted to do, you don't do, and the things that you do, the things that you want to do, you don't do, and the things that you do, you don't want to do? I think I got that right. Amen. Hallelujah. But we see that Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 7:15. When Paul talks about what's going on in his life, we have to remember that Paul had been an apostle at least 20 years. He was a man of God, and Paul loved God, and he had encounters with God, and he went up to the second heaven. the third heaven, and Paul saw the risen Christ. Hallelujah. So, but, and yet Paul still had things going on. In Romans chapter 7, verse 14 to 15, it says, "But we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." Paul said the things that he hates, he finds himself doing. But we have to understand, when we have these things, that we do the things that we hate, the things that we're not supposed to, it opens us up to sickness, infirmity, and disease. These things open us up because this is a spirit. When Paul is talking about the things that's in him, the things he don't want, he's talking about his spiritual condition. He's talking about spiritually the things that are going on in him. Paul said that when you do those things in Matthew chapter six, verses 24, and I'm still giving a recap. Amen. He says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." You cannot serve God and your flesh. Understand it. You cannot serve God and people. In other words, we serve people, but you cannot do what people want you to do over God. Amen. So we know that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory and honor of God. But we must learn to live repentant lives so that we can walk in the blessings of God. We can walk in the promises of God. God's promises are conditional. We see that he said that if you follow me and obey me, I will bless you. I will bless your bread and your water. I will bless your food and your water. God will bless you. Amen. So tonight, glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let me just say this. So we have to, must learn to separate ourselves from sin that dwells within us and recognize that this is something else outside of me that's in operation, that's causing me to do the very things that I hate. This is what Paul said. And when you read chapter 7, hallelujah, Romans, you see that Paul kept reiterating that. And Paul came to the conclusion that it was something else in him operating. Can I tell you, Paul understood that it was a demon operating in him. Paul was saying, "I need deliverance. Because if I keep doing this thing that I don't want to do, then it's no longer me. But it's sin that's in me." That's very deep. So we have to understand that the Bible, people say that the Bible don't talk about deliverance. But the Bible does talk about deliverance. So we see, when we study the Romans, we see that Paul understood that it was something going on in his members that was not of God, that was keeping him from walking out his Christian walk, that was trying to block and stop him from being the holy man of God that he was called to be. How many of you have things in your life? I want you to take a self-inventory. I want you to take an inventory through the eyes of honesty. I think is so powerful that when we can be honest with ourselves, and the mirror is the word of God. We need to take the word of God and put it up to our lives and see if our life is lining up to the word of God. If not, there, all we have to do is repent. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, you're talking about to God, he, the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, is just to forgive us and to cleanse us unrighteousness. The Bible says in John, 1 John, that if we say we have no sin, we are a liar and we do not the truth. Amen. So tonight we're going to keep our study in the series on healing, and we're going to talk about sin, because sin opens the door to sickness, infirmity, and disease. Sin leads us to death. There is nothing good about sin. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages, in other words, the payment for your sin is death. But the gift, a gift is free, but the gift of God is life. Hallelujah. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life in Christ Jesus. So we have to choose life when death is present. We have to shun the Bible says to shun the very appearance of evil, not run head on into it. So tonight, our third lesson, part three of this wonderful series from the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you that God wants you to be healed? God doesn't want you to suffer with sickness. God doesn't want you to suffer with high blood pressure. God doesn't want you to suffer with cancer, seizures, anything. He sent his son so that we don't have to go through those things. Jesus came so that we can have life more abundantly. Amen. So we have to learn to choose life. Hallelujah. I'm going over to a scripture that the Holy Ghost is giving me, and I think I need to share it with us. Let's go over to 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Hallelujah. It says, "Own self bared our sins." Jesus bared our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Because Jesus took our sins on his body, on that tree, on the cross of Calvary, we are now dead to those sins. We can't continue to live in those sins. And because the stripes he took on his body brought us healing. The blood that was shed, hallelujah, brought us healing. So we don't have to live in sin. We don't have to be sick. It says, for by his stripes ye were. The word were means past tense. Before the foundation of the world, you were healed. Jesus died before the foundation of the world. Understand that. And he died for your sins. He was beat for your sins. He was beat for your sickness, infirmity, and disease. So you don't have to be sick because it was already paid for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So let us understand that this sickness that the enemy wants to weigh us down with and to bring premature death is a lie from the pit of hell. All we need to do is to line up with the word of God. Hallelujah. Get sin out of our lives. Reconcile our relationship with God. Amen. Reconcile our relationships with ourselves. And reconcile our relationship with others. And we will see the miracle of healing manifest in our lives. Hallelujah. Understand that there is a rest for the people of God. God came so that we can have rest. We don't have to continue to struggle with these things of the world, of the curse, because Jesus became a curse. Hallelujah. But we don't enter into that rest because of unbelief, because we don't believe the word of God. We have to believe that if we obey God, we will be blessed. And if we disobey, we will be cursed. Sickness is a curse. It is not a blessing. God does not put sickness on anyone. Understand, before you can walk in that true healing, you have to defeat sin. You have to understand that you have to defeat the sin that's occurring within you. Amen. Let us go over to our first scripture tonight. As we go into this teaching, let's go to Mark chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 20 to 21. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a second to open your Bible because I want us to really understand this. I think sometimes I rush through too much, and I want to take my time because there is too much sickness in the body of Christ. There's too many people that are sick, bedridden. And can I tell you, this doesn't bring honor to God when you are sick. This does not bring glory to him. This does not, it shows the world where is it. The question comes from the world, where is our God? Because if I'm serving God, why am I so sick? Why are all these infirmities in my body? So Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 21, and it reads, and then he added, "It is what comes from inside that defiles you. What comes from inside that defiles you? For from within, out of a person's heart comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, my goodness, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desire, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come foul you. So you become dirty and defiled from the things that's in your heart. All of these things defile the heart. And can I tell you, how can you walk in wholeness when you have all of this filthy defilement in your heart? Understand, so when we sin, when we commit sin, it comes from within us. Now, I want us to understand tonight that there are 7 steps to complete sin. 7 steps. So any one of those steps, you have a chance to stop and turn back. Amen? Let's go. Temptation. Number 1, temptation. The first step to sin is temptation. Temptation is a thought of evil. So when a thought about doing something evil, whatever it may be, is a temptation. It's temptation. Temptation comes in the form of thoughts without exception. So everything starts in the mind. The Bible says that the battlefield is the mind. The enemy wages war in our minds. Understand that. Many of us, instead of casting down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we run headlong onto the thoughts. So understand that temptation comes in the form of thoughts without exception. That's the only way it comes. No matter what the sin is, it starts as part of your thinking process. So what are you thinking on? What are you meditating on day in and day out? Are you meditating on the promises of God? Are you meditating on the word of God? Or are you stinking thinking? Are you thinking about your neighbor? Are you thinking about somebody on your job? Are you thinking about anything that's contrary to the word of God? The Bible said that we are to think on things that are good and true and of a good report. Amen? This is the things we're supposed to think on. So let us get back to this. Understand that temptation, it comes in a form of thoughts. No matter what the sin is, it always starts in your thought process. You can be so strong that understand that temptation, a thought of temptation, can be so strong that it feels like it already happened. Many people sin simply because they think they thought about it so much that it felt like they already committed their sin. So they go ahead and actually do it. Understand that temptation is not sin. Understand it. You don't have to sin just because you feel like it. You don't have to. The devil may want you to think that you have to, but you don't have to. When temptation's there, there's always something within us that has nothing to do with anybody else. So when I sin, or even if I sin with somebody else and I feel like they seduce me, no, it started with me. There are many temptations or evils another person can cause to bring into your life, but understand you have to hook up with their sin. You have to hook up with their temptation for it to come to pass. And this is what the enemy do. He'll send people to us that will cause us to want to hook up with them in order to complete that sin. Understand that the evil and both people work together, because remember, the enemy's desire is that hell be filled with as many souls as possible. Now, this especially happens in relationships between husbands and wives. This may also happen in churches, when people hook up in churches. How many of you know that there's a lot of sin in the church, unfortunately? My goodness, let us keep going. I pray that we're getting something out of this. Temptation always starts with a thought, as I said earlier. Evil, the desire of the temptation is to tempt us to do evil. with temptation or evil, it brings about a fall. It causes people to fall. Understand, both people, because of the sin that's in them, hook up and they become a united force. And the ultimate goal with the two evil united forces is to cause the person to sin. And not only to sin, but to continuously sin. Amen. If temptation involves a simple thing as having a disagreement with your brother or sister in the Lord, the process here is lust. Understand that lust is not just sexual. Lust includes everything. We have many examples written to us in the in the Old Testament about lust. Understand that lust involves everything. 1 Corinthians 10:6 says, "Now these things were examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." We should not lust. The Israelites lusted after many things. That's why they could never really serve God. That's why their hearts were never really close to God. Lust includes exalting ourselves over another in every area of existence, whether from jealousy or envy or bitterness or hatred or whatever. Your self-exaltation and self-fulfillment is idolatry. Understand, and let me say that again. Your self-exaltation and self-fulfillment is idolatry. When you feel as though you are a king and everything else revolves around you, then you are sinning. Amen. You are sinning. Understand, Satan wants to steal your faith, because whatever is not faith is sin. If we put faith in ourselves and not God, we are sinning. Every problem and every temptation you have already existed within your spiritual makeup. And this goes back to a teaching I had about demons and your DNA, or iniquity in your DNA. Where every problem and every temptation that you struggle with day in and day out is already in your spiritual makeup. Satan comes with his kingdom to exploit your weaknesses. Understand, temptations many times are our weaknesses. The devil knows just what you like, and he's going to tempt you with just what you like. Amen. Satan comes with his kingdom to exploit your weaknesses. You could have 1,000 temptations, but there is one you're going to fall in if you don't be careful. You can have there's one that Satan knows that you just can't resist. Satan will always work on you as your weakest link. He's going to come for the weakest link in you. Understand it. Most of our trials and tribulations and temptations already are spiritual problems in our lives. You can only be tempted by something that you like. You can understand that, because if you don't like something and somebody present it before you, it won't bother you. But if you like that type of thing and somebody bring it before you, that's when you're tempted. Understand that. As we said from the beginning, temptation is a thought of evil. My God. Are we understanding how this works? Sin is so vast. This spirit of sin is so vast. Amen. Look at Job. Job was a perfect in a lot of ways. Yet he had weaknesses. He was full of pride and fear. Understand, people misinterpret the story of Job. But when you read it, we have to understand that Job, he tried to be God over his family, making sacrifices for his children. It was okay that he prayed for his kids, but he was making sacrifices as if he was God. We pray and pray for our family, and we love our children. But we cannot be God. We must point them always back to God. And because Job tried to be God over his family, making sacrifices for his children, the very thing that he feared came upon him. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continue. He offers sacrifices. That's Job 1 and 5. Amen. So we have to be careful with that. We're still talking about sin doesn't just happen. Understand, when we sin, it does not happen. Sometimes we say, oh, it just happened. No, it didn't just happen. Hallelujah. So, just thank God this evening. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. There is a thing that says that when you are tempted, it is God's way of teaching you something. That is an absolutely lie. In James chapter 1, verse 13, this is what the Lord says. He said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So we have so many incorrect teachings in the church, but we need to stick to the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So everything that is going on as temptation to you is common in this world. Let us go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. In other words, God will not give you allow any temptation to come your way that you are not able to stand. He said, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So when we fall into that sin, that's because we didn't choose God's way. We didn't run from that temptation. Understand that that temptation that came upon us, it was not to overtake us. We had strength to, in other words, we had strength to resist it, and we chose not. There was a way that we could escape that temptation, and we chose not that to escape it. Because we were drawn away, James says that when a man sins, he is drawn away by his own evil desire. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can quit praying for God to remove temptation. He wants us to learn to defeat the temptation. He made a provision so that you can be an overcomer. God makes a way for us to escape that temptation so that we can be an overcomer. We have to learn to deal with it. We have to learn to overcome problems. The Bible says that we are overcomers. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. And we love not our lives unto death. Wrong and Revelation. Amen. So we have to learn to deal with it. Because from within, it's already in us. We have to overcome those evil desires. Because if we're tempted to do it, it is already a problem in us. Understand. Now, the difference between defeat and resist is this. Defeat is permanent. When you defeat something, that's it. It's dead. You killed it. When you resist, it indicates that it's a battle taking place somewhere. Amen. It is a battle. So we need to learn to defeat situations and sin in our lives instead of resisting. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Let us go over to there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And it says that the trial of your faith being more precious than that of gold that perisheth, there, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He said that the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold. Hallelujah. God wants us to go through our trials and be victorious because he paid the price, hallelujah, for us to be victorious. We have to see that we have to learn to fight. The Bible says that God teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight so that we're able to break a bow of bronze. He makes our hands strong in battle. But we have to get into the fight. We have to pick up our tools, our weapons of warfare, and fight. God wants us to defeat temptation, because in the day that you don't do it, it becomes your sin, and you are fellowshipping with demons. Understand it. God wants you, he made a way for you to overcome, but God wants you to defeat that sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. And it says, and he said, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Not want us to have fellowship with devils. Understand, sin is a demon. We talked about that from Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6 when God was dealing with Cain. Hallelujah. All evil in mankind comes from within the heart of a man or a woman or child. Mark chapter 7 verses 20 to 21, and we read that. Amen. We read that from within. We can read it again. And he said that what comes out of a man from within his heart proceeds evil thoughts. Glory Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Understand that Jesus was tempted in all points such as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. Let us go over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but as was in, hallelujah. We can be tempted, but it doesn't mean we have to sin. Understand, every demon of hell was looking for Jesus to trip up so that they could have a legal right to come into his spirit and cause him to become sinful. The devil was waiting for Jesus to trip up. Can I tell you, the devil is waiting for you to trip up every day of your life. The devil is waiting for you to trip up. Amen. Understand that you are in a battle. We are in spiritual warfare day in and day out. Satan personally tempted Jesus at the highest level possible. Understand it. Spiritual intellectualism and pride. What does it say? All in 1 John 2 and 1, all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God, but of the world. Amen. Understand, there is a blessing in the midst of temptation. There is a blessing in the midst of temptation for the man who endures it. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, hallelujah, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. The 1 verse 12. It said, blessed, there is a blessing in the midst of temptation. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him, them that obey him. Hallelujah. So every temptation you face is an open door to God's blessing. Every trial you have is a stepping stone to success. Hallelujah. So we talked about temptation, the first one. Let us go over to number two, being drawn away. Now the second step to sin is becoming preoccupied with your thoughts. To be drawn away is to have a strong imagination about the temptation. That's when you start meditating on that temptation. Understand, you are being drawn away. To start to view it and to let your mind be drawn to it. In other words, you start visualizing it in your mind. At this stage, sin is starting to form a reality in you. My God. It is not just an idle thought. It is starting to take form. We're talking about being drawn away. Step two of the seven steps to sin. Being drawn away is still not a sin. At this step, you can also begin to do warfare and deal with that thing that's trying to draw you away from the presence of God. Talking about step two, let's go to step three. Personal lust. The third step is the forming of the sin. James chapter 1:14b, when he is drawn away of his own lust, drawn away of your own lust. You have, now in this stage, personal lust, you have a strong imagination and you start to take pleasure in watching what is in your mind and in your thoughts. Understand it. It is no longer an idle thought. First you have the thought, and then you have this strong imagination. Next, you sit back and turn your mind's TV and start to take pleasure in watching what is in your mind and your thoughts. This is still not sin, but you're on your way because you done imagine it, you done formed it, and in your mind, it is formed a reality in your spirit, in your soul. It is an evil, understand what is, now you have this thought in your mind. You were, first of all, you were tempted by something. Then you were drawn away. That means that it started, you started thinking about that. It started forming a reality in your mind. And next, now your TV of your mind, the images are becoming full effect in your mind. You have to understand what is taking place. It is an evil spirit integrating. What does integrated mean? Mix in, becoming as one. An evil spirit integrated itself with you and starting to weaken, and it's causing you to start to weaken. And to it's pulling you in. Understand that evil spirit that's integrating with you is starting to pull you in, and it's causing you to begin to fall into agreement with it simply because you are entertaining those thoughts. That's why it says that we are supposed to cast down vain imagination. When the devil brings you an evil thought, you're supposed to say, no, devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I will not think that. That's not my thought. You need to learn to talk to the devil. See, we don't want to talk to the devil. We talk to the devil in our mind. No, you need to open your mouth because that's a person without a body. That's an invisible spirit, but it's a person without a body. And it's coming against you. So the enemy begins to integrate his thoughts with yours. And why is happening? Because you are entertaining those thoughts. Do not entertain evil thoughts. As soon as the devil shoot an arrow in your mind, you need to cast it down. An evil spirit is like a projector. Understand? It projects images into you because of its nature, and it wants to fulfill its nature and make you a sinner in that area. So if it's a spirit of lust, he's going to interject arrows of lust into you because that's his nature. Whatever the demon is that's his nature. And so, for example, sin, the nature of the spirit of sin is to cause you to do sinful things. So it's going to project those things sinful to your mind. Remember, evil spirits are like projectors. They project images into you, and is looking for you to come in agreement, because if you come into agreement, that means that your will and resistance are down, and they can take full advantage of you. My God. Hallelujah. Now, where are we at? So, you think it is you because you have fallen into agreement. Understand something about demons. They always talk to you in the first person. I'm sick. I'm tired. I'm a liar. I want that man. I want that woman. I want that money. And it's evil things. But because they speak in a third person, we immediately come in agreement with it because we think it is us. Understand that. You think it is you because you have fallen into agreement and have started to become one with it. Foration to sin. Amen. Number four, enticement. The fourth step to sin is enticement. Enticement is the weakening of the will. It is a weakening of your will. You can have every feeling and seem seemingly enjoyment of a lustful thought in any area of your life. So enticement, it starts to make you feel the enjoyment of whatever that sin that enemy is trying to get you to do. The object is to weaken you. It is to weaken you, your will, because Satan wants you to act it out. Now, everything that you've been drawn away with, everything that you've been lusting after, now the enemy starts to entice you with it. Why? Because you have already become weak because you're coming in agreement because you're entertaining it. The objective is for you to be so weak that you cannot resist that temptation. You cannot resist that sin. Understand, the ploy is to get you to start weakening, to get you to yield your will to the will of that temptation so that you can act on that sin. Understand how sin is. Sin does not just happen. Sin does not just happen, people. It is a process. Though it may seem like it just happened, that's a lie. Understand, there was a wooing. There was a grooming. Can I tell you, the devil grooms us. He grooms us to get us to sin. Understand, if Satan can break you down your will, you are no longer resisting him. Understand, then he has you in motion to commit that sin. James 4:7. Understand, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist, turn away. Understand the diabolical plan of Satan. This kingdom of darkness is so diabolical. Understand, Satan and his kingdom been at their job for eons. Before the foundation of the world, Satan fell. Understand, he has a long time to practice his craft. But we have the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. And we just listen to the Holy Ghost. And as we obey God, we don't have to worry about falling into sin, into temptation. Amen. Hallelujah. Number five, lust conceived. The fifth step to sin is lust conceived. You can't have sin until you have lust conceived. Lust conceived is the birthing of something not yet in place. The entire weakening of the will is occurring, and you are about to come into agreement with it so it can be birthed within you. Sin has to be birthed within you. It is a gestation period. Each step that I'm talking about is a gestation period in the process of giving birth to sin. So that's why we have to understand, when we sin, we know what we're doing. No, I didn't know. No, we know what we're doing, because this process is for time that we sin. Understand that lust conceived is the birthing of something yet not taking place. Because we already done conceived it. It's already there. We're just waiting to push it out. Understand, the entire weakening of the will is occurring, and you are about to come into agreement with it so that it can be birthed within you. It is also yielding. It is a yielding and submitting to something outside of God. Outside of God. My Lord, help us. Help the church, Father. In the name of Jesus. Understand, lust conceived is the entrance into the physical or what is spiritual. Remember, before it manifests in the flesh, it has already taken place in the spirit. That's why the Bible says, if a man lusts after a woman in his heart, that's a spiritual place. All these stages at this stage is very difficult not to sin, because you have totally yielded your will to that temptation that's presented before you. It's hard because you have already given yourself over. You have already committed it. You liked it. You lusted after it. You enjoyed it. It's hard not to sin. Number six, actual sin. The sixth step to sin is the actual sin. Sin is the actual sin. There are many people who say something with their hearts, but not with their mouth. They still have a complete sin in their heart. They still have completed sin in their heart because they are one with it and in full agreement. So step six is the actual sin. Because we have come in agreement with it in our hearts, and we have spoken with our mouths, and we have completed it. It is the actual sin. It is your choice to reject a thought or to dwell on it. You have a choice. Just because you think of something doesn't mean that it is sin. Understand it. You could go to war, take authority over that thought, and bring it into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, it says, that whosoever looking on a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart. Understand the difference. When you are tempted, that is not lusting. He said to lust after. Understand, any person in agreement with a thought in his heart or her heart will eventually act out on the thought. Once you become in agreement with something, you become one with it. You align yourself with it. You become in allegiance with it. Then you're going to act on it. Number seven, and this is the last one. We thank the Lord. It is the consequences of sin. The consequences of the actual sin. Understand that the result of sin is death. James 1:15b says, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So the assignment of sin is to kill you. The assignment of death is to destroy you. The assignment of sin is to annihilate, to destroy everything in your life, to kill your life, to kill the promises of God in your life, to kill your health, to kill your relationship. Sin. Understand, sin not repented brings forth spiritual death. It also opens the door to curses to come upon you, to come upon your spirit, to come upon your soul and your physical body. This is a very serious thing. Sin is very serious before God. It is very serious. We can no longer play with sin. There is no such greasy grace. We cannot do whatever we want and get out of jail free card. For sin, the practice of sin, there's consequences. Even one sin, we don't know how many sins you have to sin in order for the door to be open for curses, for demons of oppression, for bondage. We don't know. Understand that. When you allow sin to reign in your life, it comes in to rule your life, to reign. And to have dominion over you. What did the Lord say to Cain? I want to go over that scripture one more time. Because this scripture right here, we're going to Genesis real quick, and we're going to be closing out soon. But we have to understand. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. And I'm reading out of the King James Version. And it says, and the Lord said unto Cain, and we know this is the story of God talking to Cain, because Cain was jealous of his brother because God accepted his offering and he didn't accept Cain. But the Lord said to him, now we have to understand the Lord has no respect of a person. The offering that Cain was offering God evidently had something wrong with it. But it says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? That means upset and angry. And why is thy countenance fallen? In other words, why are you sad? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? All you got to do is do what's right by God. And if thou dost not do well, sin lieth at the door. So sin was laying at the door waiting. Just there standing is waiting. And until thee shall be its desire. So sin was standing at the door waiting to attack Cain. And the people don't understand that this is God is telling them this is a demon at the door waiting for you came. He said, and unto thee shall his be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God told Cain, sin, this demon of sin is standing at the door, but you must. It's not an option. God told Cain it was not an option. You must rule over him. But what was the consequences? Cain did not rule over him. We know the story that Cain went and murdered his brother. And the Bible says, why did Cain murder his brother? Well, because his brother's deeds was righteous and his was unrighteous. This is what sin is, unrighteousness. Understand that unrepentant sin brings death. Sin desire is to rule over you, to reign over you, and to destroy you, to have dominion over your life. We have to understand, unless it is repented of the sin and dealt with and cast out, it will continually be there to tempt you. Understand, you have to defeat sin in your life. If you want to walk in good health, you're going to have to defeat sin in your life. Because when sin is in your life, means demons are in your body. Demons in your body cannot bring anything good. They bring sickness, infirmity, and disease. What do you think? Demons just sit there and hang out? No, they're in your body, tearing down your body, planting seeds, planting seeds of sickness, bringing forth, breaking down your intestines. They're in there doing, that's why they must come out. Hallelujah, Jesus. Understand, if you have fasted, prayed, cried out to God, and done everything that you could to get rid of sin, but you still keep doing it, you need deliverance, plain and simple. Because it is no longer just a temptation. It is an evil spirit within you. My goodness, my Lord Jesus, understand it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Understand, when temptation comes, it is a process. You could find yourself in the seven steps, in any of the seven steps. You will recognize temptation is not a sin. You can start dealing with it. Along the process, wherever you find yourself, before you commit that sin, you can repent and you can cast that spirit out. You don't have to sin. You don't have to go all the way through. So before I close out, let us just say a prayer. I want to say a prayer for you today. Because I understand that this is very serious. If we could get the revelation of what God is saying in this series, we can deal with the sin in our lives and we can walk in the freedom that Jesus won. Father God, I pray for your word. God, I hope that this teaching has set a lot of people free to be overcomers in you. God, I trust that this word has set things in place to assist them and assist them in becoming more mature in their overcoming, in the name of Jesus. God, I ask you to deliver them in spite of the evil, in the name of Jesus. I ask that you deliver them in the midst of the evil so that they may be victorious and you may be glorified. And all the people said, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. I pray for all those that have heard this and all those who have yet to log on to hear this. I pray with all my heart that you would take this seriously to wage an effective warfare. Paul told Timothy to take the word that you've learned and wage an effective warfare. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would take the word of God and that you would wage an effective warfare for your health, for your health, for your life, for your soul, for your spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And until our next program, may God continuously to bless you, to increase you. May his revelation knowledge be your portion. In Jesus' name, amen.
I begin to speak in the language of the Spirit.
for all the testimonies we heard here tonight. Hallelujah. Tonight we've come with a prayer. We've come with a cry. It's a very simple song. Let your power, power to prosper, rest on me, rest on me. Let your power, power to prosper, rest on me, rest on me. Oh, rest on me.
Power to prosper, rest on me.